If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
On our Friday food feature this week, the author of the book, Inside the First 50 Years of Lou Malnati's Pizza. The book is called Deep Dish, and it's Mark Malnati. Mark, congratulations. This is some book you wrote.
Well, thanks for taking the time to read it, Bob.
It's more than just a business and management book, although it is that, but it's pretty personal. You reveal a lot. Did you have any second thoughts about doing that?
I really didn't. You know, the part you're referring to, the personal part, the part about being involved in therapy and everything, was really what kind of shaped our business.
Yeah, so, and I do like what you say about therapy. There are only two kinds of people, those in therapy and those who should be. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. A lot of the dysfunction came from your dad, who started it all, Lou Malnati. I was fortunate enough to meet him a few times back when you had the Brian Piccolo Cancer Benefit in Lincolnwood. He was a big, gregarious Italian guy, but a tough boss with a legendary temper at work, and he loved his liquor. How was he at home, Mark?
He was charming. He was great when he was sleeping.
Nice.
He was a dad. I mean, I knew my dad loved me, first and foremost. But, you know, the liquor did get the best of him sometimes. And, you know, it created a little bit of dysfunction in the home. And that, you know, that made it tough. I think on that whole, our whole generation, you know, there are so many stories I've heard since I put the book out that kind of echo mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he obviously wasn't home a lot either, was he?
No, he was married to the business, for sure. And he believed that's how you had to run the restaurant business. He was stationed in his stool at the bar. And he was there to kind of, you know, monitor all the activities and answer all the questions. He was in the weeds all the time.
Mark, give us the short version of how your dad figured in Chicago pizza history before 1971 and the beginning of Malnati's.
Sure. You know, he learned to cook from his two grandmothers over in Italy. He was born here in this country, but then grew up in Italy till he was 17. And, you know, then used some of those skills in the kitchen of Pizzeria Uno, where my grandfather was the manager. And he really there were several people that had their hand in on creating deep dish as we know it today. And he was one of them. You know, he was the first guy to use vegetables on the pizza and to even combine the cheese and the sausage together. He didn't come up with the dough recipe, but he was very responsible, and responsible up until this day for maintaining it, while others have really changed it. So
it was originally like peasant food, right? Because of the bread, that was a kind of inexpensive way to feed everybody.
Sure, that's what went on in the hills of Italy.
Yeah,
the women could make bread. They could, you know, they'd add vegetables. If they happened to kill a chicken or a rooster one day, they'd have a little meat on that bread, and eventually that was called pizza.
Your dad passed away. He was only 48, and then all of a sudden you and your brother Rick are in charge of the business. You were like 22 then. What was that like?
Well, we had others involved in the business that really kind of acted as the bridge. We had adults that were there that my dad had brought on. Peachy and Eddie Liss, for instance, were great mentors to us. And you know, I think the opportunities we had to get out and work at some festivals in Chicago, we were, you know, in Chicago Fest at the very beginning. We started working at Taste of Chicago the second year that it was put on. And I think we learned a lot of hard lessons out on the streets of Columbus Drive and at Navy Pier and really learned what teamwork and hard work meant to a business. And I think that really helped create a brand that took on Chicago and became iconic across the United States.
Now, when you were a teenager, you were working at the original Malnati's in Lincolnwood on Lincoln Avenue there. What did you do?
What did I do? I did just about everything. We answered phones and took carry-out orders. We bused tables. Eventually, I got to work into the host position and help people find their seats. And when you did that, you were still the busboy and the server and everything else. You know, family business, you kind of wear a lot of hats.
Well, at least that way you got to see your dad, didn't you?
That's right.
And do you remember the first time you brought your buddies in to sample the deep dish pizza?
Sure. That was a couple days before we opened, and my dad was just breaking in the pans, seasoning the steel pans before they were ready to use them, and he made some pizzas for my friends, and he stood there and he cut them and he let that mozzarella pull, you know, and stretch as he lifted a slice out of the pan, and you know the guys' eyes were bugging out of their head, and they were getting a chance to meet my dad for the first time probably because he wasn't around a lot other than being in the store.
March 17th, 1971. That's when it all began for Malnati's. And now, what is it, like 75 restaurants in four states, about 3,500 employees, $200 million in annual sales. It's quite a story. We'll talk more with Mark Malnati. The book is Inside the First 50 Years of Lou Malnati's Pizza. Deep Dish is the title of it. And by the way, you can see Mark at Anderson's Bookshop on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock in Naperville. We'll get back to it in a second. WGN. Back with Mark Malnati, and his book is the history of his family's business, Inside the First 50 Years of Lou Malnati's Pizza. Mark, it was a big success right off the bat, Lincolnwood. It was a hit, but the book isn't about all hits. You write about a failure in Flossmoor. What did you learn when that didn't work out?
Oh boy, I learned a lot, Bob. That was like my MBA program. we located 50 miles south of our other two locations in Flossmoor, and opened in 1977. And we opened right in the middle of one of the worst winter storms ever to imagine. So we were a ghost town for the first week we were open, and it kind of stayed like that. I mean, we got a little action, but it was tough because none of our veteran employees wanted to come that far south and be part of the skeleton crew. And you know, to move a product from one location to another, to open a second store, you really have to have that experience in the kitchen, on the floor, as servers, and we did not do a good job of that. And then on top of that, the location was bad. You know, the South Side loved thin crust pizza and had grown up on thin crust pizza. We were introducing basically a brand new product out there, and it just didn't go well. We learned that how important location was, and how important it was to just kind of incubate our stores near enough our other stores that people knew about them and were ready to trade in that area. And we also learned don't put a 22-year-old manager in a store if you expect it to be successful. That was me.
Well, you overcame that. There was also a problem when you tried to expand in England as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it wasn't really a big problem. You're taking a brand new product, you're putting it into a location that hasn't ever seen it before. Your marketing better be great. And, you know, I think that when we opened a store It was sort of a consulting deal, a franchise deal with a giant brewery in Newcastle, England. They weren't really sure what they had. They wanted to sell more beer, and they thought, maybe we'll bring this product in, and it'll help us sell more of our beer. And it did okay for a number of years, but then it just kind of faded. It never really grabbed hold.
Did your dad always envision expanding beyond the one store in Lincolnwood?
My dad thought he was going to be Ray Kroc. I mean, he was convinced that he was going to take the world by storm. And, you know, he may have looked at what my brother and I and our company was able to accomplish and say, yeah, you know, you sold it short. You know, I would have been all over the Eastern Seaboard and everything else. But he ran out of years.
Yeah, he did. Only 48 when he passed away. Let's talk about your expansion, the investors you have now. And I've badgered you with this question before, so I'll do it again.
Great.
Isn't there a danger in getting too big? How do you maintain the quality now?
Yeah. Well, that, you know, of course, that's a good question. We are meticulous about the quality of our pizza, and we have a crew of people who infiltrate each store on a weekly basis that are, you know, are real foodies and understand all the different processes that need to take place at our kitchens and make sure we're doing exactly the right thing with all our products, with our dough and handling of all the other fresh ingredients that go into our pizza, you know, and we know we're only as good as the next meal we put on the table, Bob. So we don't shy away from micromanaging that product.
Isn't the secret the tomatoes?
Yeah, we still send 4 people out to California every year that sit there and wait until the crop is just perfect. And, you know, until that tomato is its reddest, its sweetest, and, you know, just is what you'd want to eat every day for the rest of your life. And then they'll say, okay, let's take this tomato right now at this moment in time, which usually is somewhere around the middle of August, and let's can that tomato and hold that freshness so that you have that the entire year. And that's really what you want. You know, people talk about fresh tomatoes that are made in hothouses now, you know, and that are available all year round. They don't have the flavor that the tomato has at that one moment in the year, you know, when it's at its zenith. And we take that and can it, and you get to benefit from that all year round.
Well, I admire what you have done, and I continue to be a big fan. And I also really, really think you got on the right track with therapy, and you use it in your business. I know Rich Melman at Let Us Entertain You feels the same way about it. That has helped him and his company as well. And I still maintain the pizza, it's great everywhere, but it tastes best in the original place in Lincolnwood. Secrets,
well, that's where
secrets,
you have all your memories, Bob.
Well, you got nostalgia and those pans, right? Isn't there something like the spices or something that are in those 50-year-old pans?
Well, we've cloned those pans in every one of our stores. So,
well, best to brother Rick, who went on to a great coaching career at Nutrier. And also, please tell your mom I asked about her, okay?
Yeah, she's doing great. She's 95. She doesn't see very well. She doesn't hear very well. She can't walk anymore, but she is still sharp as a tack. Great sense of humor.
Good for her.
She's the best.
All the best to you, Mark. Thank you. Mark Malnati at Anderson's Bookshop next Tuesday at 7 p.m. in Naperville. See you down the road, pal.
Thanks. My wife's going to have a chance to interview me at Anderson's on Tuesday. So Jeannie will be out there, and it should be a lot of fun. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Feel free to take these questions and see if she does better than I did.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.